Go ahead.
Okay.
No?
Please.
Someone go ahead.
The older brother.
That is correct. Now, a few more thoughts on being rooted. And I would like you, for those that take notes, first, pardon me, John 15, 4, 5, 7, 11, and 16. So John 15, verses 4, 5, 7, 11, and verse 16, as well as 1 John 2, 6. Let's read them. Verse 4, John 15. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine, no more can ye except ye abide in me. Verse 5. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. Verse 7. If, conditional, if ye abide in me and my words, there we have the word of God again. My words, think of John 14, put that down, verses 21 and 23. If ye abide in me and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, because we have then discerned the will of God, and it shall be done unto you. Verse 11. These things, what precedes now, what we've just been reading, have I spoken unto you, that my joy, there is joy there, oh yes, might remain in you. That word remain means abide. That my joy might abide in you, and that your joy might be full. Now verse 16. Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you. Is Brother Darby hearing the same? Ordained? Ordained you that ye should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever ye shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it to you. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit. And now 1 John 2, verse 6. And this is very searching to me. It's a challenge, a spiritual, a challenge by the Holy Spirit, each and every one of us, young and old. He that saith, confession, man, profession, if you please. He that saith, he abideth in him, ought himself, herself, so to walk, even as Christ walked. Food for thought.
We know that the standard is set very high, isn't it? The standard for us is the Lord himself. But the law had to be given to man, as we know, so that he would understand what pleases the Lord. How do I know what sin is if God hadn't recorded it for me? We could sit here all day debating about what sin or sins are. And that's the way it is in the world, you know, when somebody says to you, well, that isn't sin to me. It may be sin to you, but it's not sin to me. And so the debate goes on. But there's no debating what is in the Word. There's no conflict here. There's no conflict between the law and grace, really. No conflict. But it is God revealing himself and what pleases him. And if I love the Lord Jesus, what is one of the evidences of natural love? Just natural love now, never mind divine love. Natural love, if your divine love is far higher than ours, but natural love, you want to please the one you love. Isn't that true? All of us. Some of us are married, some of us not. Some of us are children, some of us are parents. It is natural for us to please the one we love. Children basically do love their parents. Sometimes we think they don't, but they really do. Your children love you, and they strive to please you. That's wonderful. A man and a woman married, they try to please each other, don't they? They love each other. They want to do what pleases the other party. how much greater should be my desire to please the Lord as a believer in Him? It should be far higher, shouldn't it? I can't express divine love, but I can see it in what the Lord did for me on the cross of Calvary. That's a love beyond measure. I don't grasp it, I don't fully understand it, but I know it's real. It's real. And through that death, I have been reconciled to a holy God. No man can do that for me. And so if I look at the law, it's there. It's there for my learning. It hasn't gone away, as we've said. And it is an evidence, if I struggle under it, not for my salvation now, I can't be saved because I fail in being obedient to the law. I fail in that. That doesn't save me. But nevertheless, I know what pleases God, what pleases the Lord. And I should strive in that direction as a believer.
Just to go on with this and connect with what Neil brought earlier. Paul goes on in this portion to come to say, I find in me the will to do. That is, you might say, that natural love. A believer wants to express to his Savior that love. So he attempts it sometimes in the wrong way, by bringing in the law. Now here I'm not just referring to the law of Moses, but did not even Israel create more laws than what God gave Moses? With the attempt to be more spiritual, to be more holy, they made more offenses with their own law. But do we not do sometimes the same? I know when first starting off, now you get into the third time, and the fourth time you find there's still in me something not working, so I'm going to now wake up at 5, I'm going to now do this and do this. I was attempting to make every meeting in my region. I almost collapsed by doing so. What was I doing? I was not maybe applying the law of Moses, but I began to make a law in myself with the attempt in my natural affections, stirred by the love of God, but nevertheless, I have in me the will to do, yet I still haven't learned that the problem is at the root, and that bringing in the law is not the solution. And to a living by the law is not the solution. To putting my whole house under law is not the solution. It is to recognize where the root. Remember the parable the Lord gives of a tree who after 3 or 4 years there is no fruit. And finally he says, cut it down. And he says, no, wait a minute. Let me dig this year around the base and fertilize the thing. It means to get to the root of the problem. And when I realize that even in my own affection, as good as they are, that I am dead now not only to the world and so on, and that sin is dealt with, but even the law itself cannot be applied here. So it leads me to Romans 8:1, the only solution. But Paul ends with chapter 7, the last verse, but then into Romans 8:1. So we must see that the law itself too can be brought on by our own natural affections toward the Lord.